This is Glow in the Dark Radio. The science fiction podcast with original independent science fiction written and performed by Mike Luoma, with music by Kevin MacLeod. The Vatican Assassin Trilogy and The Adventures of Alibi Jones by Mike Luoma are available in ebook, trade paperback, and audiobook wherever you find your books online. Get links and details at glowinthedarkradio.com. This is the Science Fiction Podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. I have Chapter 10, A Vatican Abdicator, coming up on this episode. Humankind is fighting an interstellar war on two fronts, against the powerful human-looking alien Dolome and his telepathically brainwashed ship's crews and their raids and attacks, and also against the Eldred, ancient caretakers of the known universe, who would like to see humanity wiped out, as we are evidently now found to be the offshoots of a violent race that once ruled the known universe a million years ago, whom the Eldred call the Ancient Enemy. The Eldred secretly infected us with a plague, which we have been fighting, but the vaccine isn't working as well as it did initially. BC has just heard this, so he's heading back to a UTZ council meeting on Lunar Prime. But the good news is that BC and the Project have just captured an Eldred ship, so we may be able to figure out some of the Eldred's advanced technology and use it against them. We'll check in on BC and humankind's fight, coming up in Chapter 10, A Vatican Abdicator, on Glow in the Dark Radio. Before we get into the chapter, I wanted to mention that this spring, for a limited time, you can get the Vatican Assassin 15th Anniversary Edition audiobook, the special audiobook with the very cool cameos, voice cameos, for free. That's at Google Play, Kobo Books, Nook Audio, Chirp, Apple Books, Libro FM. You can get all the links and all the details at glowinthedarkradio.com. But yes, I'm giving away the Vatican Assassin 15th Anniversary Edition audiobook for free for a limited time. Your chance to hear some great cameos. John Miro, Polly Cooley, Veronica Jaguar, Starla Hutchton, Dave Robison, Keith Hughes, and Scott Sigler, all contributing to the effort. Not much else in the way of book news, so we'll get into Chapter 10 of Vatican Abdicator next on Glow in the Dark Radio.
The Flash Pulp Podcast. 3 to 10 minutes of fiction brought to you thrice weekly. Now it's three apocalypses in one.
Yeah!
Suffering from tough, stuck-on humans? Well, 20 hellish hours of suffocation in the all-encompassing web of Karwick the Spider God will get them right out. Too many brains lying around? The ravenous mouths surrounding zombie-fighting Ruby will quickly clean those up. Nosy neighbors? Infect them with the murder plague, and watch as they dissolve into paranoid maniacs bent on the preemptive assassination of their friends and family. Why stop at one end of the world when you can have all three? You can find them all at flashpulp.com or search for them on iTunes.
Now here's Chapter 10, A Vatican Abdicator, on Glow in the Dark Radio.
As BC heads back to Earth space, he gets in contact with the other surviving members of the UTZ Council, organizing a meeting on the moon at Lunar Prime. Back to the moon once again. It's the safest place for now, BC tells each council member. Lunar Prime has thrived under the leadership of Governor Amanda Erskine. In a way, she's fulfilling the promise of Meredith McIntyre that I cut short. She's turned out to be a true leader, keeps Lunar Prime thriving despite the plague and the war. The Eldred may have started the plague by planting it on the delegates at my peace conference on Lunar Prime, but she's kept it contained there, under control. Back to the moon. BC's trip is short as he travels by Stinger ship, using the transspace drive to quickly flash from the asteroids to Earth's orbit. He's soon back in the buildings and tunnels of Lunar Prime. He enjoys a walk under the city's main dome through the atrium. I love the way it smells in here, like dirt and plants, the moisture in the air. Look at those trees, they've really grown. The moon, funny. Once again, it kind of feels like home. He heads for the Vatican mission. Pope John Paul IV, Mbeke, makes sure there are rooms available there for BC whenever he needs them. The actual UTZ Council meetings won't start until tomorrow morning on Lunar Prime. BC has time to catch up on some sleep before the rest of the council arrives. There is a call from Anita waiting for him as he gets up the next morning. BC, Christian Dell surfaced just long enough to update me with some wild news. Call me when you can. Bye. After he refreshes himself and gets dressed, BC calls Anita back. BC, you'll never guess what Christian Dell found on the Eldred ship.
No, I never will.
What? He asks, playing nice. Project technology.
What do you mean, project technology?
They were using our stuff, she says with a mix of curiosity and disappointment detectable in her voice. Maybe you should be flattered, BC offers. They're adapting your technology.
They're using our transspace drive, she exclaims.
Well, BC says, trying to bright side it, you must have superior technology, in some cases.
This is not the news I hoped for. I want their superior tech. Don't tell me they only seem more advanced than we are.
Great, Anita says sarcastically, not appreciating his lightness.
It's a weird thing, though. Aside from our drives, Christian Dell tell me everything else on board, most of the other parts of the ship, seem to be thousands of years old. Just about everything's old, and it's all very well maintained. Even our stuff is integrated seamlessly.
Just how old is their ship?
I'm beginning to wonder just how many times over the ship has been replaced piece by piece, Anita ponders aloud. This ship could be, well, ancient.
Tell me, BC asks, will any of this make it any easier to reverse engineer their technology?
Maybe. Gotta hope so, huh?
She says with a hint of optimism. Well, I've gotta go meet with the council. Keep me informed, okay?
I will. Enjoy your meetings.
Right. Pretty unlikely. I'll talk to you soon, Anita.
Take care, BC, she says, and signs off.
The UTZ Council meetings are, actually, mercifully brief. BC asks the council why there are still people dying of the plague on Earth if Wentworth says he's got a cure. There is no answer. BC shares his suspicions. I think the Eldred have let the plague continue to evolve to its next stage, to take out another segment of the population, unfortunate enough to share some randomly chosen genetic marker, he tells them. It may be a result of our refusing to go along with their restrictions. The war is apparently over, but we haven't stayed within Jupiter's orbit, haven't withdrawn from our interstellar outposts, and Dolomei is ranging across the systems out there. They no doubt hold him against us. The Council agrees this could be happening, and votes to continue fighting the plague. UTZ and Project Scientists will be sent back to their labs to see why their vaccine isn't working. The shipyard in the asteroids is still off the books, so to speak, known only to BC and Wentworth among the Council. So some of the councilors ask about rebuilding the old shipyard on Earth. Wentworth assures them this project is underway. BC is quizzed on the project and answers as vaguely as possible. The UTZ Council is not what it was. No one challenges BC's vagaries. No one pushes to have him explain in more depth. No one brings up his press conference with the aliens again either. Although he had broken every agreement of the previous council meetings, no one challenges BC now. In his closing statements, BC reiterates his steady encouragement to the rest of the UTZ Council to recruit more potential pilots and troops to bolster the UTZ forces. What good will it do us to build ships if we don't have the men and women to fly them? He asks the Council. It's been two long days of meaningless meetings dealing with dull generalities that don't really seem to bear upon reality. 2 days of this wasting my time. Well, we need the manpower. Maybe that will be the good that comes out of all of this. And so, in closing, I ask again that you please try to motivate your constituents to join the UTZ forces and help fight for the very survival of our species. Thank you.
Morons. God help us all.
BC gets back to his rooms to find an urgent call waiting from Anita.
BC, it's Dolome! He's here! He's attacking us at the old project base!
And I'm wasting my time here.
You know what to do, he says to her. Scramble all the stingers you can, keep him away from the ships on the line, and keep him from landing on the base. You know he's going to try to land and raid for supplies and any tech he can grab. Worst comes to worst, seal the place up, blast your way out, and come back here. But try to keep him at bay with those stingers.
I know, they're scrambled, she says. But BC, he's got more ships. There are five now.
Five? More ships, huh?
I guess he's been recruiting, Anita says. I don't know, BC. All I know is that he's got five ships, maybe six, and they're here now.
If I leave here now, I don't know that I'll get there in time to do anything, BC tells her, thinking out loud.
I don't think you...
Anita is cut off.
Anita?
BC tries to reconnect. The signal returns.
Sorry, BC, I gotta go. Dolome's trying to land on the base. Man, you called that one, she concedes. Guess we will need reinforcements. We're going to fight, hide out, or die trying here if we have to. Gotta run!
Good luck, he wishes her.
Thanks, we need it. Good luck to all of us!
She signs off. BC relays her request for reinforcements to nearby UTZ forces, who might have a chance of getting there in time to help them.
It's all I can do. Wouldn't do any good to hop in a ship and try to ride to the rescue. Never get there in time. Not the way Dolome works. Good luck, Anita. What's that?
Bernard Campion?
Someone at the door?
BC?
A voice calls from the speaker in the wall. Someone is calling him from the other side of the door to his rooms.
Who is it?
It's the governor, Amanda Erskine. May I come in?
Governor Erskine?
Sure, come in. Door open, he says. Amanda Erskine stands in the doorway. With her straight short hair and her pantsuit, she cuts a businesslike figure, although the conservative suit still manages to flatter her.
Hello, Father Campion, she greets him.
Governor Erskine, what a pleasure, BC says, gesturing for her to come in. And please, you know, call me BC, everyone does.
Thank you, BC, she says as she enters the room. She waits for the door to close behind her before she speaks again.
A cautious woman.
I'm here because there's been another attack on the moon by UIN forces. Your UTZ people told me the UIN was not a worry anymore.
They aren't. It can't be the UIN.
When did this happen? I didn't feel anything.
BC is confused.
They didn't hit Lunar Prime. That's why you didn't feel it. They attacked your project base on the other side of the moon.
I didn't hear anything about this, BC admits. Were there any survivors? He asks, a little stunned.
Don't know, she tells him. The place was leveled.
So, wait, when did this happen? He asks, as he tries to sort out the news.
About 2 hours ago. We're just getting on-site reports back now. Looks like they landed, looted, and then leveled the base, destroying whatever they left behind. We leave the place pretty much alone, so we didn't know anything was happening until our motion detectors and seismic detectors started going crazy during what must have been their final bombardment. We sent some ships rushing over, but by the time they arrived, the UIN ships were gone.
She shakes her head and then looks BC in the eye.
You told us the UIN was through attacking. I didn't even think they were capable of an attack, after what the Eldred did to them.
There's a puzzled look on her face.
It's not the UIN, BC tries to explain. It's the guy I was talking about in my press conference with those aliens, Dolome. But we registered the presence of several ships. You said he just had two.
I've since been informed that he's got more ships flying with him, at least five ships. He's using them to attack the project base right now.
Was everything you told the public in that press conference true?
It was, simplified, but true. Those aliens that were with me, the Flays and the Domo, kept our race's development hidden from the Eldred. If the Eldred had found us early enough, they would have wiped us out.
I remember you told me something about all this, the Eldred and the Plague, she says. Dolome is ruthless. One of the reasons the Eldred spared at least some of us is that we have empathy, love, religion, at least the capacity of living a little beyond ourselves. The old race didn't have that capacity, probably because they didn't need to guess what other people were thinking, BC tells her. What?
Dolome and the Ancient Enemy look a lot like we do, but they're different. They lack our capacity to believe and our capacity to love. They were a cold and competitive people, if Dolome is any indication, but they were mentally more advanced than we are.
They have the ability to read minds, at least surface thoughts, and to communicate directly mind to mind. That's a little far-fetched, isn't it?
Granted, it is a little overwhelming, BC admits, but it gets crazier. The reason I know this is true... Well, I've heard Dolomei in my mind. He's spoken to me mind to mind, and he's tried to attack me with his mind.
Erskine just stares at BC.
I know. It sounds insane, he admits.
Why you? She asks BC.
Why should he talk to you mind to mind?
I'm not entirely sure, BC admits. I don't know. I think I might be more, I don't know, I guess, sensitive to his mental powers. You see, a while back I was taken prisoner by a religious cult. They dosed me with some pretty heavy psychotropic drugs as they tried to brainwash me. I resisted and survived, but it's as if part of my mind was rewired, and now I can hear him in my mind.
I'm not telling her I thought I talked to God.
After being repeatedly dosed with their drugs, I started getting monster headaches. After a while they began to clear, but as they went away I began to sense something. I began to feel another presence out there, and it turned out to be Dolomei. It's almost as if I'm the only one tuned into the wavelengths he's broadcasting on. I can sense him probing, casting out and seeking for us, for our minds, and when I noticed him, he noticed me. I had to find a way to keep him out as he tried to take over my mind.
Are you sure you were successful? She asks BC. Maybe he's using you, listening and watching us through you.
A smart and cautious woman.
I'd like to think I was successful. I could feel his frustration at my blocking him. When he reaches out, my mind feels violated by the oily touch of his mind, his thoughts. It's kind of hard to put into words, but I know it when he's there, I think.
It doesn't hurt to be careful, Erskine says. So where did they dig up this Dolomei? How is he still around? Shouldn't he be a million years dead and gone?
He should be. Evidently, he was placed in suspended animation as a punishment for his crimes by the ancient enemy, a million years ago.
Oh, great. You mean this guy was a criminal among the cutthroats? Even they thought he was bad?
Looks that way. The Eldred discovered that another alien race possessed a capsule with Dolomei inside. They brought Dolomei inside his capsule back to Eldre and kept him there, his continued existence a secret. When the Eldred brought me to Eldre, my proximity somehow triggered the capsule's controls, and Dolomei thawed out.
I remember when you were stealing yourself to go visit them. You had no idea about the stuff with Dolomei then, did you?
I had never even heard of the ancient enemy.
How did the Eldred allow this to happen?
They didn't put Dolomei in the suspended animation. They just kept him in it, without really understanding the technology of the ancient enemy that was keeping him under, and that ultimately woke him up.
This would almost be comical if it wasn't so deadly,
she observes. I try to laugh at it so I don't cry, BC tells her. As for Dolomei's mind control, and whether he's watching through me? I bet he's pretty tied up using his abilities keeping his little fleet together right now. And why would he be trying to get to me and through my blocks I've put up against him, when all the rest of humanity, every other human mind, is open to him?
Great.
What?
Now we have to suspect everyone, she points out.
And I thought I was paranoid, he says. Well, it's probably wise to be paranoid at this point. An alarm begins to go off in BC's rooms, startling both Erskine and BC.
BC, it's Anita!
Her voice calls out from the comm on emergency override.
Anita, where are you?
We're here, in orbit of the moon, BC.
That was Chapter 10 of Vatican Abdicator. On Glow in the Dark Radio. Anita is at the moon? She was at the project's asteroid base, so Dolomei's attack there must have been pretty substantial or something. We'll find out what happened in Chapter 11 of Vatican Abdicator, coming up on our next episode. Again, a reminder that you can get the Vatican Assassin 15th Anniversary Edition audiobook for free right now for a limited time at a whole bunch of places. Get all the details at glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com. Just click on Books and Vatican Assassin the 15th Anniversary Edition for all the links. And that is all for this episode. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.
Glow in the Dark Radio.
This podcast presentation is copyright 2023 by Michael F. Luoma and is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives, 4.0 International License, CC by NCND 4.0. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at Incompetech.com. Mike's books are available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook wherever you find books online. Get links and more details at glowinthedarkradio.com and mikeluoma.com. This has been a presentation of Glow in the Dark Radio.